All right. Adam Beck, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you, Commissioner.
All right. Thank you. We can hear you as well. Okay. Welcome this afternoon to our 1 hour earlier schedule. But as you see, as the day goes on, it's going to be, we got meetings after meetings after meetings with this one. So it's going to take us a little bit later. And welcome to Amelia, first time here in person.
Thank you.
So let's start, as we always do, with a prayer, reading, or thought, and the Pledge of Allegiance. And we look to the audience for anyone who would like to volunteer to either offer that prayer, reading, or thought, or lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Any volunteers? Seeing lots of hands up, but no volunteers. Okay, we'll bring it back up here. Either Commissioner, do you want to take a preference on either or? I'll take the prayer. Take the prayer.
I'll do the pledge.
We got it.
Our Father in heaven, we are grateful for our country allows us to mingle and interact so freely, and grateful for the opportunity to participate in that this day, and ask for thy company as we deliberate and discuss. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Please stand. Join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, thank you. We'll go through the process. Well, first off, let's see, is the mic still on? Okay, didn't sound like it was echoing. We have a public hearing listed on our agenda. That item has been noticed for 3 o'clock, and so that will be held at 3 o'clock. So we're not going to be doing the public hearing right now. We'll just leave that one for 3 o'clock. And then we will move to our other agenda, the consent agenda and the regular agenda. As you'll notice on our consent agenda, there's nothing underneath it. What we are going to do is we are going to move things to the consent agenda. And what that means is that all three of us agree to it, either being ratified, approved, agreed to, or otherwise, as stated in our document. And we have a number of items on our regular agenda. The items that we hold will be left on our regular agenda for discussion. Everything else will go to consent. So for items 1 through 10, are there any items on 1 through 10 that we need to hold and leave on regular agenda? Commissioners? I think
we can keep them. I can make them all consent.
Don't have any. So, Bryce, number 7 is just that it's the updated version. I think that's the only one on there. Correct? Is the updated? Okay. So we'll items 1 through 10. We'll move to consent agenda. How about items 11 through 16? I'd like to hold number 11.
Okay. I'd like to hold number 16.
Number 16.
I don't have anything.
Do we need any discussion on item number 13? I know there's been some with that contract there. Do we need any more explanation with it? I know what we're doing there. I just wonder if there was any more discussion that needed to happen there. Seeing none, we can put that on consent. Okay. And then items 17, 18, 19, and 20, if it's all right with the commissioners, we can leave on consent to strike item 19. And then to approve and set the date, time, location for the closed meetings for items 17, 18, and 20, and items with item 18 actually being held at 4:30. That one would be setting that the setting. I'm going to try to do this a little bit more. So items 17 and 20, if it's all right to leave on consent to approve and set the date, time, and location for a closed meeting for items 17 and 20 at this location following the completion of our regular agenda. And then if we can also approve and set the date, time, and location for a strategy session for the purchase, exchange, or lease of real property for 4:30 at this date at this location. Is it fine to leave that on consent for those items?
I don't know all the details for the others, but should we have them all three during 4:30?
Well, the reason why I would like to see that is because we might have filler times that we can go ahead and do them. If we list it for 4:30, then we'd have to wait for 4:30.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree. I'd rather have them.
I think there's going to be some filler times for us to do some.
That'd be fine.
I agree.
Okay. So with that, Alice, do you want to recap that, or do you want me to go through our recap on it?
Oh, I'm more than happy to. This is an easy one.
Okay.
Okay, we will be holding 11 and 16. And then as far as the closed meetings, we will be having 17, 18 at 4:30, 19 is stricken on consent, and we will have 20 as stated.
Yep. Yes. And we're moving the public hearing till 3 o'clock.
Yes.
Okay. So again, if you have an agenda item here that we did not hold, it was agreed to, ratified, approved, or as stated on the agenda, and it moved to our consent agenda as being agreed to by all three commissioners. For those that we have held, we'll now discuss them. And the first one is item number 11. It's to approve and authorize the property tax actions included in our recommendation letter. And the one that I would like to look at to discuss is this Siskin. I think that's pronounced right. I don't know. I'm guessing.
I think so, yeah. Siskin. Diana Flores from the attorney's office here as the property tax officer.
I'm going to get to it really quick. I read down through it, and the reason why I wanted to pull this one off is because it appears like their explanation was that they filled out all of their taxes in one day and mailed them the same day, but some of them made it on time and some of them did not, and so they're not asking to be to relieve the tax itself, but just the penalties and interest that are attached to it.
Yes, so this was a tough recommendation to make because we weren't able to verify all of the information that they had in their application. They said that they mailed the check on October 24th with other checks. They all were in separate envelopes. And we think that this property owner may have other properties and other maybe business entities. And so we weren't able to verify the connection between this check that was missing and these other ones. And then later in his application, he says that he has a carbon copy of a check dated on November 18th for the amount. And so we just couldn't verify the connection between the October checks and then this check dated November 18th. And it's the obligation of the property owner to make sure that the payment is made and received on time.
Right.
And if the commissioners find it is in the best human interest or the best interest of the county and the state, then you can grant the application if you feel it's in the best interest.
So for me, in looking at this, and of course, there's no error on the county part at all.
No.
It is just a kind of an understanding. And in reading down through the applicant's explanation, For, and again, they're not asking for forgiveness of the tax. It's just the penalties and interest, which we did receive that check shortly after. I don't know what the date was between the first checks and the second checks, but there was that in there. I feel inclined to accept this, giving them the benefit of the doubt that, you know, that was in fact the case without it being a hard justification on their part.
Yeah, I would agree. I also know that, I mean, we're working towards rectifying this by doing more of these payments online and doing more of these systems that verify. But I think there is a transition period where people, I think, for example, I think this person would definitely see value in transitioning to electronic payments in the future, which helps us all. But I think this is a perfect example that we can highlight. But as we move that way, I feel inclined to give some leeway.
Okay. And I'm in the same mind. Let's give them a benefit of doubt.
Okay. And are there any others that were on there? That was the only one that I pulled off. Any others?
I didn't see
any. I have no others, no.
Okay.
Thank you.
Then a recommendation to approve and authorize the property tax actions, including the recommendation letter with the amended one for the Siskin, to approve their application.
I make a motion that we approve as outlined, agenda item 11.
I'll second that motion.
We got a motion and a second to approve and authorize the tax action with the one amended. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That passes 3-0. Okay. Number 16, Commissioner.
Number 16, this morning, I had
item 16 we really need to hold until after our public hearing.
We need to hold it after the public hearing itself? Okay. I stand corrected then. So I recommend that we continue item 16 until the 3 o'clock, after the 3 o'clock public hearing today.
Yeah. Okay. I'll second that motion.
A motion and a second, continue that till 3 o'clock, which just for reference purposes, we got caught in this kind of this little mixture. We typically have had our meetings at 3 o'clock, and we changed last week, I think it was, till 2 o'clock. But we'd already did the public notice for 3 o'clock because that was our anticipated time. And so now that we're doing our meetings at 2 o'clock instead of 3, that's the reason why we have to follow, because we've been putting this out into the paper for the last little while. That's when that meeting was going to be. And so that's why you see this odd moving to 3 o'clock. If that clears up any of the confusion, probably doesn't, but
hopefully it's a lesson learned and we'll learn moving forward and do better.
We'll get caught on it 2 or 3 times probably.
Absolutely.
Okay. So that one is, did we already vote on that one? I guess we did, didn't we? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. That one is continue till 3 o'clock. All right. Then we do have our closed meetings, which were already scheduled after. So now we have the work sessions. The first work session is a discussion regarding the ordinance amending subsection 9-6-4 and 9-6-4, the A and 11 and A-3. And this is county code relating to the fire prevention and protection.
Kirk Bertelson, County Fire Marshal. Yeah, so what these two changes do is just make it a little bit easier for builders and homeowners to meet the fire protection codes in the wildland urban interface. The changes that I'm proposing fall in line with the international wildland urban interface code that, because we have written our own, we don't use that one. But it does fall in line with what's on the international side, and just talks about the eaves on a house, protection of the eaves in construction. Let's see. Whoops, that's the wrong one. Yeah, so it just adds, right now, our code only allows 3/4-inch solid material for the eave protection. We're just adding a non-combustible option to that. But it also needs to be approved by our office. So it's that should be pretty straightforward. And that actually, in the international code, that one actually gives it a rating higher than what our code is anyway, to go non-combustible over the 3/4 inch. But we'll keep the 3/4 inch option also. Lumber's getting so expensive, we've had several people ask if they can use hardy board to do the same thing, which it gives offers better protection than the lumber does anyway. So that's why that changed. And then
can
the
I
next
ask you
one
a
is,
question on that one?
You bet.
This is for ventilation, right?
No, it's to seal the eave, you know, the underneath of an overhang, to seal it so that hot embers can't get into it, so fire cannot get into an attic.
Okay, so as I read it, I thought that there was going to be some.
There's a vent quite, one also for venting.
Maybe that's the second one you're
yeah,
talking about.
Okay, one.
That's I'll wait then.
All right.
Till we get
to
that
the
one.
Second one is just adding so that they can put a fire rated vent in an eave. So right now our code says you cannot. Period.
Right.
And what I'm trying to do is open that up because there are companies now that make fire rated vents that do what we need it to do, and they can still vent their attic without having to put more vents on the roof of the house.
You know, and I appreciate that, but I in my mind I don't understand it, because once you open up a vent like that to the eaves, it seems to me like you're opening up the attic to sparks and embers that would go through. So I'm curious at your explanation of how it
so
becomes
the,
better
the
fire
vents,
rated.
The vents that they're making now have a ceramic honeycomb inside the vent. They end up being about 1.25 inches thick. And so they've got a wire mesh to keep sparks from going up in. And then the ceramic coating, when they came and showed them to us to demonstrate them, they took a propane torch and put it on the bottom of the vent and then had you hold your hand at the top and you can't feel heat. It doesn't let heat through. It just dissipates the heat so fast that you can't feel the heat. And we stood and talked for 3 minutes while the propane torch, which is hotter than wildland fires, never felt any heat. So they're amazing vents, and it stands to reason that, you know, where we vent attics all the time through soffits, if we can come up with a way to do it safely, that's a good option for builders and homeowners.
But it still allows the air to go through.
Still allows the air to go through, but it's not hot.
Wow.
Yeah. So I wish I was the guy that made those, right?
Similar to how a catalytic converter works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my question on the first topic you were talking about, this is basically just us giving people a more affordable option to meet the code.
Absolutely.
It's fantastic.
Okay. Yeah. I wish we had this. I mean, we've had problems with this in the past in those areas where they wanted to do something on it. So it's good to have that option out there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too.
And is this for residences, ag buildings, commercial buildings?
This would be on residences, not ag buildings.
Not ag.
Ag buildings get exempted from my code, but residences or commercial buildings in the wildland urban interface. So basically any structures up in the canyons would need to meet this.
Do we grandfather any existing structures?
All of them. If it's built right now, it stays how it's built.
Okay, so anything in motion and under construction won't be touched?
Will stay.
Okay.
Yeah, unless a builder says, hey, I understand you just passed this. Can I change mine and do this? And then we change it on your plans and you can do it.
Sure.
Right?
Okay. Great. Thank you for bringing that forward. And I would anticipate that you'd put it on the agenda. For one of the weeks following.
Thank you.
Okay, the next discussion item is to appoint a justice court judge. And I know David Levitt said he wanted to be here, but he can't. But I'm assuming, Dave, that you're going to take it from here.
I texted him. He thought he could participate by phone, but I haven't heard back from him. So maybe we could table that until after the closed meeting.
Okay, do we need to?
Or we could just strike it.
I
think you have.
I mean, I sat down. We've talked about this for some time, and I'll just state it right now. Personally, I think that we're at a level which, as we're pushing more towards the justice court, you know, from district court, that it makes sense. That's why I was kind of glad to have this conversation to see where it's going to go.
Yeah.
And this question I can ask, I mean, to Rudy, is my question was on the budget for this. We have the budget for this, right? This is a judge that retired, but it's in the 2021 budget. So we've got the ability to. Okay. That was really my questions were just, is this something? I think I agree with the numbers. Do you have any overview on the numbers at all? I haven't. All I know is that we've been pushing more there, and I think he said 800 cases more a year, but I just don't know in relation how that looks.
We could submit those. I think Sandy in our office has put together some data that we could provide that to the commissioners so that they would have that available.
Yeah, I would love to see that.
See, in this discussion, I mean, it's an interesting one because we hired a second judge, I don't know how many years ago, based on the data that had reached a point to where it warranted a second judge. And we've watched as that went up and then started to come back down. And we've seen recently how those numbers were below the level in which we hired a second judge. So that was begging the question, should we even do this or not? But now with Mr. Levitt's, you know, pushing things that direction, I think we'll see that spin around and come back, which would warrant again going to a second judge. And that's his commitment, that is to go that direction, which makes sense. But that was the reason why we've been holding off, is to see if that was actually going to materialize or not.
Right. Yeah, I'd love to see those historic numbers, since I wasn't here during that time. If we could see those historic numbers, and then obviously he could speak to the trends for the future that he's looking for.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll submit those to you.
That'd be great.
Over.
Okay.
Commissioner Lee, there is an item that work session one, if we're finished with this one.
I would think that we, I don't think we need to continue that. I don't think we need to continue this.
We could probably just strike it.
Yeah, I feel comfortable with that. And as long as you know the numbers
we've had the discussion.
We've had the discussion.
Yeah.
Because I think an attorney wanted to present some details of why he wanted to go this direction. If you don't feel like we need to do that, then that would be fine too. Let him know.
I think he could present those details when you bring it on as an item to be voted upon.
Okay.
Because the work session was about to iron out any questions that might be for or against the idea of doing this, and that's why you want to have a work session.
Right.
Right, and I had a couple of questions, and you answered those, so I feel like mine have been answered.
Okay. Do you have more questions?
I have no questions. I'm happy with the overall direction that we're going. I just want to make sure that your questions, your thoughts are at least aired out.
I've got, they live it on the phone. Oh. Maybe I'll just let him speak. That's okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, David. You're on.
Dial into the Zoom, and for some reason the connection doesn't let me through. I've spoken with all three of the commissioners regarding our need to start this process for the second Justice Board judge, and I've had my chief deputy Sandy Johnson send out some of the statistics to demonstrate really what's going on. The bottom line is, as you all know, we've had two Justice Court judges for a number of years, but we have increased our filings in the Justice Court by 800 cases in the second half of 2020 because of our efforts in criminal justice reform. I'm just wondering if anyone has any questions, or I'm assuming that number one, if the money is unbudgeted, well, we just need to get this process started.
Right, and I don't think you're finding any negative comments back on it, David. It's just a matter of understanding that is looking, because this is not a decision that's made for just a 1 year period.
No, I didn't hear what you said.
So this is not just a decision that's made for a 1 year period of time. Once we have those judges in place, this would have to be a long term reach where we would anticipate your office would continue to go through that practice, not just for this year or next year, but long term.
Maybe Mr. Shostak, you can repeat what
okay. I love technology when it works.
The comment was that if we have a second Justice Court judge, that's a long-term commitment. And the commissioners understand that your commitment would be long-term also with regard to your current process of referring those cases.
We are in this for the long haul.
Yeah, okay, I heard that.
Yep.
Okay, I think we have what we need.
I know we do have a board member here from the public defenders, and I'm just wondering,
okay,
do you have any comments on this, or do you want to comment at all on this?
Great, thank you.
No, I don't think we need to comment.
Okay.
And commissioners, okay. I did verify, we do have two judges budgeted.
Yeah, yep, yeah. Yep, we know that.
But in general, the public defenders are supportive of this move.
Okay.
Mr. Commissioner Lee, part of the work session item one was to have included, but I missed that, a comment or at least a discussion with our fire marshal, deputy, and others about the current drought environment we're in, about fire mediation that the county should be aware of. And they are here, but it's not showing up in the work session.
Could we do that under public comment instead of under the work session? Because I think if we're doing it under work session, that has not been publicly noticed.
Right.
But under public comment, we could probably take public comments and give a little bit more latitude there.
I talked to the fire marshal ahead of time about that option. Okay. So.
All right. We'll move then to public comment then.
Hi, Kirk Bertelson with the Fire Marshal's Office, and Commissioner Sekovich reached out to me to talk about what we're doing to kind of preempt the drought that we're looking like we're going to be facing this year for the fire season. And on our side of it, for the Fire Marshal's Office, we've already started a program where we're trying to reach out to homeowners associations in our canyons, homeowners associations anywhere, and help educate them on what they can do to help make their places more fire safe. A lot of our buildings, as we talked about these couple of changes we're trying to make, a lot of our buildings were built before any of this code was in place, and they are at risk. They're at a higher risk than one that's built today, but there are certain steps that a homeowner can take, like making defendable space around your home and, you know, removing some trees. Now, we get a lot of kickback from homeowners associations when we ask them, you know, this tree is really close to your house and it's an evergreen, and when they go up like a torch, and we'd like to see you cut that down, and they don't want to cut down a 100-year-old tree, and we get that. But we're trying to, you know, trying to take that approach of education and giving handouts and showing the things they can do to be, you know, get ahead of it a little bit in case there is a fire or when the fire does come, because as we know, it does. You know, that's a part of it that I don't think we can stop a lot of those. So, and then we've also invited our fire chief from the wildland office here, and we'll let him get up and talk about his side of it.
Good afternoon, Patrick Carlson, Utah County Fire Chief. From our stance at Utah County Fire Department, we're business as normal. We've got the prevention program, as you guys are aware, that go out and do the fuel mitigation, try to reduce all the fuels within the county and the canyons where we can. We've also got our program within Utah County that goes out and suppresses wildfires when they happen. With that being said, we get to the fires as quick as we can. We rely on other departments throughout the county to help us, but they can't help us as much as what we need to do. So as soon as we get there and as soon as they get there, we do what we can. We call in our federal partners, we call in our state partners, and we just start to suppress the fire. As you guys saw last year, the Range fire was a great example, the one over by Temp. We had already laid off all of our seasonals at that point. That happened, if I remember right, by October 17th. We have to lay them off by October 15th. So that being said, we didn't have a lot of resources to go after that, and that's where we relied on other resources to come in and help us. But they were also already laid off for the year. So it's kind of an ebbs and flow. Wildfires are turning into a year-round thing throughout not only the West Coast, but coming into Utah now. They're going longer and harder and hotter, as you guys are aware. So do you have any questions for me? Do you have anything you'd like to know? Can I?
How are we doing on the fire mitigation program? We were talking with the Forest District Rangers the other day, and they were, and I think they have a couple of, was it Mapleton? I can't remember which one it was that, I can't remember who was in that meeting with me now. Anyway, they said there was a couple of areas that they were working with cities that would probably, are you tagging with them on with some of those too to get those numbers that we need for our insurance purposes?
We are, and that being said, cities can ask for our help, and if we can do it, we go in and help them. Cities have their own numbers that they have to hit, just like the county has their own number they have to hit. But we are always open to going into cities and helping them out to hit our number. My primary goal is to help the county, and then from there out, going out from two cities, trying to stop and reduce wildfires, fuel mitigation throughout the county first, and then we can go in and help cities. But we are not against helping cities. If they call, we definitely. Woodland Hills, we've done ever since I've started at Utah County, and we go up there and help them with their chipper days, and we do that for probably 2 weeks a year to go up there and help them reduce any fuels that they pulled out of their property.
So I remember when we started this program on an insurance basis, there was always a worry that we were not going to be able to get enough because we don't have the same resources as the cities do in the way of pulling people out there to get that knockdown. How are we doing on that end? Are we able to satisfy that on a year-by-year basis?
Right now we are. Everything, as you're aware, Commissioner, is ebbs and flow. If it's a hot fire season, which this year is going to be, my engines and hand crews are going to be on the road a lot and within Utah County a lot suppressing wildfires. Last year was one of the busiest years I can remember in 20 years being at Utah County Fire Department. What scares me is this year is going to be worse.
Yep.
We've all seen it. We've seen the drought stuff. It's coming. My fingers are crossed. It's not a pull and Bald Mountain fire year. But that being said, we're amped up and ready to go. The crews and the engine folks are all doing their training and classes right now, and they'll be prepared when it's time.
So we're hitting our fuel mitigation obligations.
Right. Okay. As of right now, yes.
Yeah, great.
100%.
Great. Fantastic.
I'm curious, how many folks do you have? How many engines do you have?
In total?
Yes.
It breaks down, so when you say that, it's kind of a hard number, but we have one Type 6, three Type 4s, two Type 3, Type 4, Type 1s, one Type 3, and then one tender that's older. So, again, we don't man those all the time because, again, our staffing levels are low.
What are your staffing levels right now?
So usually during the day in county, if you're just talking about in Utah County, we try to run at least one engine and one squad. On the weekends, we beef it up a little bit because citizens are out, and we try to beef it up so we can respond to that. And again, it just depends on because of how we run it. We have to ship things back and forth from, like Commissioner Lee said, the fuel mitigation to the in-county responses to the out-of-county and helping other people when they call. But at a minimum, we try to staff at no less an engine in a five-person squad for the county.
And how many squads do you have?
We have one squad that we run. We have, like I said, we have multiple engines. I have two engines that go out and one hand crew, which consists of 22 people that go out on the road.
Okay.
And when I say that, or a resource program, don't think they're always gone because Pull and Bald, they were here. They were committed to fires here. I've had them in Utah County multiple times. We just call it the resource program because they're getting a resource order to help other fires, and they're committed to that area. I can't pull them off. So if they're committed to Pull and Bald,
understand.
And I get a fire up north, I can't say, hey, I'm taking them because I'm committed to that.
I'm just curious how your total strength, that's what I was looking for.
Yeah. So, and again, if I have more people at home, I try to beef it up. Everything, as you're aware, is budget dependent. So my budget's not the best in the world. That being said, we've managed to this point with what we have.
Your funding sources for the budget is what?
Well, so my resource program is theoretically funded by what they go out and they bring home. My in-county funding, it comes out of tax revenue. And my prevention program is, if you will, tax revenue with the caveat of we have to spend XYZ for the state to help us pay for fires. So if we don't, like Commissioner Lee brought up, if we don't make that number, the state has all purposes to say after so many years, we're not doing this, you have to pay for your own wildfires, which we don't want. You don't want, I don't want. Uh-huh. I don't think any of you guys want to pay for, especially the fires last year. That's a catastrophic number.
Do you know what the bill was for all the fires last year?
In total?
Yes.
I think it was 14 million.
14.
In Utah County. Don't quote me on that, but it was pretty close.
I'll quote you on that, Pat. Yeah.
Thank you, sir. I mean, I know Ether Peak in Mapleton was 1.2, if I remember right.
No, that's was 8. I just needed a rough number, yeah. Okay.
So if you had to tell us what your top two or three concerns are, and then maybe one thing that we could do to help that.
Concerns meaning?
If just what keeps you up at night when you're looking at this upcoming fire season, do you have one or two, maybe three things that you're really focusing on just to help us understand what you think about on a daily basis or what keeps you up at night?
Well, staffing is always a concern. That's okay. Everybody's concern, whether it's the attorneys or the deputies or anything else. My staffing is understaffed with full-time positions. My equipment, which you guys have helped out catastrophically, is still beyond what we need just because of how we've done it, and we're trying to change that, but newer equipment. And then to be honest, having almost 24-hour staffing at the station, because when we do get a call after hours, because we are not a 24-hour department, I then have to push the button, they have to come in. So whether they live in Orem or Provo or all the way down in Goshen, they have to drive to the station, then they get on a truck, and then they go forward. So I know everything is money dependent. That's just the way life is. That being said, I would say full-time positions, more full-time positions. I would say newer equipment, and I would say better staffing to do that.
Great. Thank you.
Any other questions, commissioners?
No, Richard Nils, I have to ask him to chime in because I know we had a dozer that I guess you had Highway Patrol lead up to one of the fires last year. Anything like that we need to be aware of?
Just when he calls. Richard Nelson, Public Works. We did have a situation. It was the fire up in Lehigh. I don't know what it was called.
Traverse Mountain.
Traverse Mountain. That took off very quickly. It was late at night. Fire needed some resources from Public Works. We were able to bring a dozer in to help them. Our dozer was at the pit out on West Mountain. And at 11 o'clock at night, we loaded it on a transport and had a police escort down the freeway to Lehigh. So it's a combined effort. We do throw that dozer out on the fires with them at times. The last dozer that we purchased, we actually bought the one with the fire package, so it's got the roll cage on it.
That was going to be my question. I was going to say, are dozers fire suppressant?
Yep. Okay. We have the one with the fire package on it. So,
good.
And we did that specifically for that reason, because we don't go outside the county like the resource team does for the fire department, but we do help out quite a bit when we have a fire in the county or mm-hmm. even an adjacent county, like the William fire down in on the Santaquin, Utah County, Juab County line. We were down on that for a little bit, but.
Can I add one thing?
You bet,
that,
absolutely.
18 days, the dozer came out. It wasn't just the Traverse Mountain. They came to the Williams Fire. They came to Traverse, which was a huge thing. During Traverse, right afterwards, was the Knowles Fire that you guys are aware of that took off towards Saratoga and almost burned down. And I got a call, and they said, do you want us back? And I said, yes, please, come back right now. I need you. The dozer has been nothing but amazing for us. It has been – I can't speak enough great stuff about Glenn and Richard. They helped us out catastrophically, and I'm hoping that doesn't stop this year, because it is a very valuable resource to this county.
So that leads me to a couple of other questions. One is, how many dozers do we have?
One.
Is it a D5?
It's a six.
Okay.
Well, it's what used to be the six. It's now a five.
Now five. Right.
They changed the nomenclature on them, but it's the size of what a six would be.
Okay. So that's a decent size. Are there other equipment like a dozer that we can utilize in Public Works that we could deploy in emergencies like that? I know we did this with the elections last year where we needed some equipment for elections, but it's things that you didn't have that you could use. Right. I mean, I would love to see synergy anywhere we can, right? I love the fact that when you got the new dozer, you got it with the fire suppression unit. That adds a little bit of weight to the dozer, but if that doesn't affect your ability to use it for what you need it for and it helps us with the fire suppression, I would definitely encourage that. So, because my question is there other equipment that we can do that with that we can really get more bang for our buck?
We've talked about a second dozer.
Okay.
and then also the manpower to do that. That one thing that's a little bit difficult for us in public works is oftentimes when we're in fire season, that's also when we're in construction season.
Right.
So we're having to kind of try to balance those resources with our manpower.
So a second dozer might be good.
It could be good, but it's just a matter of do we have somebody to put on it?
Okay.
That's the other challenge that we have. And then also having that individual that's running that dozer, fire trained and red carded, is that the right term? So they're official when they're on the fire and hopefully trained and able to be safe.
Unfortunately, a dozer is the piece of equipment that I'm least trained on. Any of the others I'd have been fine. Motor grader, an excavator, a backhoe I could have had to there, wheel loader, articulated truck. But the dozer is the one I'm least proficient in.
And maybe kind of a little bit of a different avenue here, just a little bit. One of the things that we're looking at with the drought the way it is and the high fire danger, likely by about the middle of June, we probably won't be grading any of the gravel roads. Just because of the fire danger that goes along with that, as you're running that motor grader across the gravel, it does cause sparks, and so we're probably most time in the summer we're up in on those canyon roads grading. We probably won't be doing that much this summer just because of the fire danger.
Okay,
might free up a few operators for another dozer.
Might be a good thing for this summer.
Thank
you. Any other questions, commissioners?
Thank you.
Kirk, thank you for your time.
You have some other people here. I think you invited Kirk. Do you have do they have any insights to bring up?
They're the state. Oh, yeah, we'd love to have them. Of course, go
ahead. Good afternoon. My name's Dave Vickers. I'm the Wasatch Front Area Fire Management Officer for the state, and right now I'm also acting as the area manager for the state because my area manager is over in Africa on a deployment with the Army Reserve, or the Army, so he's out of the area. Basically, on our role in this whole thing is, I'll have to say, Patrick and I probably worked our first fire 25 years ago, at least, because I came to Utah County in 82 with Pleasant Grove and worked 16 years there, and then Fire Marshal's office, and then I'm the one who started Saratoga Springs Fire Department. And then the state conned me into coming to work for them. But anyway, my role in all this is the duty officer. When you guys have a fire, it's my role and responsibility to help the resources obtain what they need. My counterparts with the Forest Service, basically my job is I'm the liaison between the state and local people and the federal partners. And you now have a new fire warden. You can stand up, Josh, introduce yourself. He comes to you, he's had better than 10 years experience in the division, and now he's the new warden, which his responsibilities, he's a liaison with the local fire departments on wildland fire. So his relationship is he works with locals, I work with the feds, but anything that Patrick or him need related to fires, that's my role, is to get those things. And then also, typically your fire department has enough business. Patrick has, you guys are one of the most active areas in the state and has the biggest impact. If you look at our history back to, you know, the last several years, potential for catastrophic fires has been very high in your county. And so, what typically your folks are busy enough, and what's been happening, at least in the last little while, is either myself or I'll get somebody, if it goes to extended attack, multi-day fires generally, we'll put an IC in there. I know I have IC'd many fires. West Mountain, when we burned the whole mountain down a couple years ago, I was the incident commander on that one, where your dozer came out and did a fantastic job in the middle of the night as we started doing some burning operations. It just worked perfect. Your guys filter in there and accomplish what we asked them to do. You got a good program going, so I'll give you kudos on that. And the other thing I need to bring up, though, is Josh actually is half your employee, and with the cooperative agreement that we have with you to pay for the fires if they get big, and you brought up the mitigation portion of it. It's actually part of my job to validate that your county is meeting that obligation to meet that. So that's part of the things that I do. But also as part of that, especially now with House Bill 65 coming up, transitioning from being just a part-time, half-season fire warden. He needs to go full-time. So I need to, your warden agreement with the county, is that technically no longer valid? And it actually was outdated for a while anyway. It was last signed in 2017 by you, Commissioner Lee, because I was looking at it. So we need to update that. So somewhere I need to make an appointment with your budget people and you guys to go over that so that we can make an agreement that you guys are comfortable with and meet the obligations on what you would like to see out of the fire warden and also the financial part of it. But anyway, so we need to make that arrangement because that has taken effect this year. So to make sure that you guys can continue participation in that cooperative wildfire system. So I want to make sure that we meet your needs. So that's what our role is in your fire program here. And also Josh's responsibilities. He also works with the local fire departments, make sure that their qualifications are where they need to be, do the inspection of their equipment so they can be on the MOU program so that we can make sure that we utilize them on fires that are on state and private and federal land. So those are a lot of his off-season responsibilities that he would be doing. That he does now, but we'd formalize it more. So any questions for me?
So Josh is replacing Kelly Watts, right?
Yeah, Kelly Watts, he went to work for Saratoga. And I kind of had to tell him, well, since I started the department, I told him, yeah, you better take the job. So yeah.
But Josh is the point contact for making sure that the funding sources are there as we respond to fires then, right?
Yeah,
so federal land or county land, city,
so,
we'll coordinate there.
Yeah, he'll take over what Kelly was doing.
Okay.
So.
And Josh and I met a week or so ago.
Yeah, last week.
Yeah, a really short time ago. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we appreciate it. I mean, Kelly, it kept me informed on a pretty regular basis with text messages anytime anything was going on, so I appreciate that. That was...
Well, you also gained him because he's going to work part-time. Is that not correct? And he's going to work for you? So you'll get him part-time.
Yep.
He was a good, I hated losing him, but I couldn't fault him for what he did.
Yep.
So with the passing of House Bill 64 and with us needing 65. And us needing a full-time fire warden, how does that work? Is that in the contract that they still work for you and then we fund them?
50%, but we have a performance contract so that you have a say in, I will be a supervisor, but we can set it up so what you would like him to do related, because you'll be part yours, so we can work with, Patrick and I have a great working relationship. We've worked for each other for a long time, so we can make it all work out, but the warden's agreement is where we identify how we want it to work within your county.
Okay.
So that's why we need
to. So that still needs to be negotiated.
Yeah, it needs to be redone.
And I would imagine that Sheriff Smith would be a large part of that. Okay.
So and then the agreement would be signed by the county commission because it's part of the same thing with the cooperative agreement. It's between the county and the state.
Right.
But you guys have the ability to write in like how you'd like it to work with. And I've worked with Chief Smith quite a bit too, Sheriff. So that's not a problem.
It's a little bit of an interesting dilemma. I mean, because when this first came about for us, there was some concern, and the part time seemed to work because it worked because we didn't need to go full time. So we have a full time chief. Now we have a full time chief, and we're going to have a full time fire marshal. I think is the
fire
correct
warden.
Term. Fire warden marshal. You know. And so it's an interesting budget discussion for us because I don't think we anticipated that we were going down that path, but now we're, because of the bill, we're being forced in a certain direction that is pushing us in an area that we never anticipated.
Well, my goal is to make it to be a benefit to you and what we can do so that you get a good return on your investment. Let's put it that way. So my goal is to make it work because I the cooperative program is a valuable program. Like I say, we know I think the supplemental bill, you know, that we had for last year's fire season totally in the state was pushing $20 million. And a good chunk of it unfortunately happened here in Utah County. We had, with what happened over at the Knowles Fire and the Ranger Fire and the fire above Mapleton, and the lightning bolts just seem to hit Utah County for whatever reason.
Well, and that's the, you know, and to that point, the offset of that is what we're doing with the fuel mitigation and everything else, because the state is helping to pick up that in, and that's why it feels like there's a benefit there. I just hope that we continue down that path of benefiting.
I agree.
Okay. Thank you. And you have our numbers, right? So you can keep texting us every time something pops up. Do better than Kelly. Kelly did fantastic. So if you do better than Kelly, then that's, you know, that's to be said for him. So.
Okay. And who shall I put as a point of contact to get with you guys to work on that cooperative agreement, get that process going?
I would say Sheriff Smith. I would say Sheriff Smith, and he can lead those.
Yeah, I'll just hook up with you, and we can set a time.
That'd be fine. And Rudy.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, okay. Lupin.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, guys. Thank you.
Any other public comment? Any online as well? And online? Okay.
Take a what five time are recess. We at?
Oh, wow, we're doing pretty good there, Dave. That was we'll take a 4-minute break. Okay, Adam, can you hear us? We're just verifying that you can hear us online.
Yes, I can hear you.
Perfect, we can hear you as well. Thank you. All right, on our agenda, we have a public hearing, and we also have item number 16. We have listed this as a public hearing, and so we need to take and open up the public hearing. Can we get a motion to open up the public
hearing? I'm sorry. I move that we move to public hearing item number one for today's meeting at this time.
I second that.
And a motion and a second to open up the public hearing. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. We're now open for a public hearing as to discuss amending the 2021 budget. Utah County General Fund and other budgetary funds. Just a reminder, this as a public hearing, this is our chance for you, the public, to speak and us to listen. That's what the hearing part is about. So if there's anyone who would like to speak, it's open. Any online, Alice? No? Okay. I'm anticipating that
one person in the back.
Oh, come on up, please. Come on up and state your name. And
my name is Dale Summerhays, and I just wanted to take a quick minute to thank you for bringing this up in your meeting. This is a critical issue for a lot of homeowners, and with the rising cost of housing and the assessments that are going up dramatically, it's critical that this issue be taken up. And the values are skyrocketing, and I think it's going to make last year look pretty weak compared to what's coming. So I just want to take a quick minute to thank you for bringing this up and for taking into consideration the homeowners and what they have to pay in taxes. Thank you.
Thank you, Dale.
Yeah.
It was Dale, right?
Dale?
Yeah, okay.
Dale Summerhays.
All right, Dale. Any others that you can see, Alice? Okay, I would anticipate that instead of closing this, I'm going to keep this open for now, because I'm anticipating something. So if we could move to item number 16, Commissioner.
Then I'll make a motion that we move to item number 16.
Okay, we're there.
Okay.
So item number 16.
Okay. Item 16 is to approve and adopt a resolution amending the 2021 budgets in the county's general fund and various other budgetary funds and revising county estimates of revenues. This morning I had some new information come up that may impact the plan that we have put in place. And I do not have the final information back. And so I'm requesting that we continue this discussion 2 weeks to allow me to get that information solidified.
Okay.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I wouldn't mind discussing it a little bit before we get there.
That was a motion?
I'm sorry. Yes, I'm making a motion to continue this discussion.
Okay, so I just want to make sure, if there's a second, do you want to second that?
Yeah, I will second that.
Okay.
It would be May 26.
I got a motion and a second. Now for discussion.
So as we go through and we look at budget adjustments, I think that we need to have more process to how we do these budget adjustments. I think that at a minimum, we should have 2 weeks of input on any budget adjustment. And that doesn't mean that we let people know that there will be a budget adjustment and then 24 hours before we come up with numbers. I would request that we have at least 2 weeks to discuss any budget adjustment, and that's after we have the numbers. I think that 2 weeks is plenty of time. When we look at the budget process is a 3-month process. Adjustments, asking for 2 weeks to discuss adjustments once numbers have been published, I don't think is too much time. I think there's a couple of things that need to happen. Number one, we need to recognize that the staff that help pull these together, they have a lot of job responsibilities. And during budget season, they're dedicated to budget. But during the other 9 months a year, they have a lot of things they do. We do that on purpose because we give every one of our employees multiple jobs because we like to have as few employees as possible, which is a good thing. But that also means, I know one of the biggest complaints that I've heard is that it's hard for us to get information out of our financial system. Well, the reason it's hard to get information out of the financial system is because it's a 2-decade-old system. It uses clip art from the 90s, and that's me being generous. It's not user-friendly. It doesn't have a good user interface, but it is an incredibly robust, valuable system. Well, we've all recognized that it's difficult to get information out of that system. And so we've spent the last year looking at and implementing Questica. Questica will lay over top of that incredibly robust system and make it user-friendly. Not all of us have accounting degrees. I get numbers. I'm an engineer. And I'm a numbers-based person, but sometimes getting those numbers out of the accounting system isn't easy. I know that we have, for example, our sheriff is a fantastic example of someone who's really good at his job in public safety, but he's not an accountant. So getting these numbers out, we need a system that does that. That's Questica. Guess whose job it is to implement Questica? It's the budget team. Every time we pull them off to work on a budget amendment with hours notice or even days notice is time that they're not spending in Questica, which then makes it harder for us to have the information that we need to have valid budgets. So I think that as we continue and we expect people to drop everything they're doing, cancel every meeting that they have with every other department in this county, so that we can look at a budget adjustment with hours notice, it's basically the epitome of government inefficiency. Let's talk about government inefficiency. We give people job tasks, we ask them to do those tasks, and then within an hour's notice, we ask them to cancel all their meetings, and now all of a sudden, we have a ripple effect of not only their schedule, but the schedules of all of our employees. It is the epitome of government inefficiency, and that's something we need to avoid. So I think a minimum of 2 weeks' time after we have numbers would be necessary. Another one is we need to discuss this with all the stakeholders. This last adjustment, it included the ANC fund. That's kind of a big deal. We've got several stakeholders in that ANC fund. I think that they should be thoroughly consulted when we're looking at adjusting those funds, all stakeholders, including department heads, including the professionals that are affected. We need to have time to look at the historical data, and we need to look at these trends. I think the commissioners need time to review. You know, we did a budget adjustment at the end of last year, and staff was able to sit down with every single commissioner and go through that step by step. You know, I know Deneen sat down with you, Commissioner Lee, and went through that step by step, and I'm sure you appreciated that. And so I think there needs to be time for all of the commissioners to review every aspect of that budget adjustment step by step. Did you have time, Commissioner Lee, this time to go through that step by step and look at the ramifications? I did. That's what I'm just asking.
So this is interesting. We have traditionally always given commissioners an option to, if they feel like they have not had enough time, and we have always given that opportunity to say, I'd like to continue this for more information. And when we've generally given that. And so that's not a hard, fast rule. It has always just been kind of a handshake and agreement that we've had in place. And I've used that, and other commissioners have used that. And so anytime we feel like, and so far that's never been violated. It's okay. Never been violated where somebody says, you know what, I want this vote and I want it today. The only time that it ever came up where that has been violated has been when there was a hard deadline, when there was a deadline.
Like a statutory deadline.
We had
and
to
that makes
act.
Sense.
And so there was no reason to say, well, I'd like to delay it for 2 weeks and then we'd be out of, we'd be in non-compliance.
And that
so,
absolutely
so
makes
we
sense.
we have that ability right now. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, in looking down through it, I was prepared to say, you know what, I'm going to need a little bit more time on this as well. It is a process. It's an interesting process because we can't talk.
Right.
Which is why we need more time. We have to be in an open public meeting to present. And so Tom has presented. Now it's the open and public for us to say, here it is. Here's Tom's proposal. And now discussion can happen. And so I'm not really, for me, it's not really out of order. It's just that we're trying to work through the process, and we've given each other enough latitude here and there that we can kind of work.
Well, and as I look at it, we have to publicly notice a budget hearing, right? I mean, that costs money to put things in the paper, to publicly notice things, to do those things. And once again, the epitome of government inefficiency. There are other things. One of the people that this really impacts is our recorder, Andrea Allen. She's on vacation this week. This was a pre-planned vacation. This has had time for this. This affects recorder's fees. This affects the ANC fund. She doesn't have the ability to be here. And we didn't have enough time to look at this. And so now we're continuing it, which is great. But now we're going to have to publicly notice this again.
No. We're just going to continue.
We're just going to notice today.
That's the reason why I held the public hearing.
So I would love to see in the future any proposed changes. I'd love to see a work session. Let's discuss them prior to just hours before coming up with these numbers. I think that's something. I don't think 2 weeks is that big of a deal. I mean, I have a whole list of questions on these. You know, I had lists on how does this affect budget year 22 and 23 when it comes to the salary study, because the ANC fund, they're in phase three of the salary study. That's expected to happen in July. And how is this adjustment of the ANC fund rate going to impact the salary studies in salary year 22 and 23? And I mean, I've got a whole list of these. And I agree with continuing it, but I just, the process that we've gone through the last few times, I think there needs to be a better process that allows for more input, allows for more respect for the staff, and allows for more respect for our fellow elected officials and the department heads.
And insinuate that there's been a lack of respect is not what has happened. It has been an ongoing discussion. It's been a weekly discussion, directly and indirectly. I've used the tools that the clerk of our office provided a few weeks ago to manage it. And I mentioned 2 weeks ago that it had a limited effect on ability to manage and project. And the Jeremy who designed it said that, it doesn't have a surgeon's tool. So there's some additional digging that device does not provide. And so that's what I've been using. But there has been no disrespect of any staff members. This is bringing up in public like this is the first time I've heard of it.
Yeah, well, I think giving people 4 hours notice for a budget change is disrespectful. I think it's indirect, but I think it is disrespectful.
I know for the comment. I just move that we continue this. We've already motioned it.
So, yeah, I will second the motion to continue.
Okay, and that we have a motion and a second. No further discussion, thank goodness. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That'll be continued now. If we can also go back to our public hearing, that's the reason why I left this open, so that we can continue this for the same day. So it'll be open. Hold on, I gotta get the public. Can we get a motion to continue the public hearing to the same day?
So that would be the 26th at 2 p.m.
2 p.m. Yes.
26th at 2 p.m.
I'll second that motion.
Would be at the same location on that date.
Yep. Yes, and make a motion that we approve that. Second that motion.
Okay, I've got Alice, are you clear on the motion and the second?
Yes.
Okay, got a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. That passes 3-0. We are now moving into our closed meetings.
Hey, you're not doing public comment?
We just moved that to the 26th at 2 p.m.
That was a public hearing, but there's still public comment.
I don't.
Did you end the public comment?
Is it?
We've done that already.
Okay.
So that's up to the commission.
I don't have any problem if you would like to have it. Okay. Okay, we'll move into our closed meetings. Thank you.
I'll see you at 4:30. See Rob.
Thanks.
Thanks, Rob.
Okay, we're back in our open session. It'd be appreciated for a motion to go into recess.
I make a motion to go into recess.
I'll second that.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. We're now in recess till at least 4:30. Okay, we're back in open session. A final motion.
I make a motion that we adjourn.
Second that motion.
We're now adjourned.